Ark Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of Ark and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. Ark Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. Mm. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just
for
you.
Find your next ride at AutoTrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
Not just that, but J.P. Morrell as well. 813, Tommy Tucker, WWL, New Orleans City Council member J.P. Morrell joins us now. How are you, sir?
I'm good, Tommy. How are you?
Fresh from Baton Rouge, huh?
More or less. I came back in more kind of one piece, maybe missing a finger or two.
Do you guys all drive together in it?
We do. It's carpool, you know.
I was wondering about that.
Yeah.
So tell me about the meeting itself. I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, but it was in a way a formality, but in a way not. Who testified or who had to say what to whom about what?
Well, essentially, it was a great opportunity for the state and the city to work together. Mm-hmm. We spoke for several weeks around the RAND, the Revenue Anticipation Notes, to try and deal with the budget crunch, the cash crunch, to make sure city employees are paid. And basically it was Mayor-elect Moreno, myself, and Budget Chair DeRusso, and we were there representing the council and the city to say, listen, we agree to several compromises to have the state have significant oversight to make sure that we are spending money in the correct way as we kind of climb our way out of this terrible fiscal shortfall and this budget uncertainty.
At any point, did the discussions go to what a new administration would look like?
No, not really. I mean, the main issue was making sure that the RAND funds go into an account established by the council, that the legislative auditor would have some oversight over, and that we would work together to make sure that those funds are being spent by the current administration in a way that is simply to do payroll and to deal with emergency issues and not to be kind of just thrown back into the till, because until we get a grasp on how deficit spending and overspending got to this point, we need to make sure above all else that employees are paid and that city services are not interrupted.
When it comes to the new budget, and I was just talking to Steve Nelson, the Surgeon Water Board, where are you guys at on that, J.P. Morrell, on the hearings for the budget a new budget could look like?
The hearings were all last month, so we had hearings every day for almost a month throughout October on the budget. The challenge is that budget was based off the mayor's representations with her economists that we would have around $750 million in revenue. The reality in the wake of this fiscal crisis is that it's more than likely we're going to have significantly less than that, as much as $100 million or more less than the $760. So the council is working with the mayor-elect to probably craft an entirely new budget, because you can't base a budget off of money you don't have. So we've begun that process. I mean, obviously, we have to repay the revenue anticipation notes pretty quickly, which is also going to contribute to having less money for next year, because we got to pay it back next year. So We will be going through that process. We'll take into account a lot of the testimony that happened last month, but it's triage now, because we would have loved to have had $750-760 million in a budget, but when it's potentially $100 million or more less than that, some of the things that were on the collective wish lists of various organizations, some services that people have grown accustomed to that are not essential, they're going to have to not be continued for the time being.
Like,
for example, there are some challenges with a lot of our social programs. For example, we canceled the council fund for 2025, which was in the budget for 2025 because the money wasn't there. We're hoping that with some new revenue streams, like when the new mayor comes on board and finally gets on the right side of Wisner, looking at some efficiencies in the New Orleans Tourism and Culture Fund, and maybe looking at some ways that the council fund and tourism fund can work together, that we can reinstate those. But it's going to require a lot of creativity and a lot of putting the nose to the grindstone and looking at how we can reallocate resources to try and prop everything up. It's going to be a big, big heavy lift starting
the
year.
You went to law school, so tell me what happens with Wisner and the new mayor and the legal action with the heirs. Where does all of that stand?
It's bizarre. The council has won every preliminary case regarding Wisner. We won the summary judgment to get Wisner. And what's interesting, Tommy, is the city won Wisner. We are entitled to 100% of the proceeds. The mayor is on the sides of the heirs appealing the current mayor to get less money. And
so what happens when the new mayor is elected to that case?
She will establish the city of New Orleans is no longer split between the mayor and the council. If the mayor and the council are aligned, and once the new mayor changes positions from the current mayor and we're all aligned against the heirs, the city currently controls over with LSU, with Tulane, with the city's base, we will control more than half of the trust, and that will change the entire dynamics of how this litigation is going. It's really disappointing that the current mayor is actively fighting for the city to get less money.
So the case becomes moot as soon as the old mayor is gone?
It doesn't become moot. The heirs are still going to fight. But when you look at,
you've already won, right? Summary judgment?
Yeah, but we're in appeals.
Okay. All right.
We're in appeals. But remember, if we control, the city collectively controls the majority of the stake in the trust, then how the lawsuit is funded, what the positions will be, that all changes. Right now, because the mayor is on the side of the heirs, the city, as in the mayor and her representative, with the heirs, controls the majority. When the new mayor joins with the council, we unanimously control the vast majority of the trust.
So
it's a total shift.
How much money are we talking about?
We're talking about maybe $9 to $10 million a year in revenue generated. Now that has to all be reevaluated. Those are based upon evaluations that are years old. You'd have to have a whole new assessment of the trust and revenue. It could be substantially higher because it hasn't been renegotiated in a very long time. I doubt it could be lower because Port Fourchon has not been inactive, but it could be more than that. But revenue streams, reoccurring money each year, are more precious than just cash, because revenue streams, you can base things off of that.
This is business, not personal, the question I'm about to ask you, and it is, you can only have one mayor at a time, and I just wonder, do we even have a mayor now? I've not heard or seen a lot from her. Is the council interacting with her at all?
The mayor-elect is interacting with her. The council's engagement with the mayor has not changed at the end of her term. Mm-hmm. We haven't had much engagement with her directly for the last 4 years. She has not endeavored to change that. So the mayor-elect is working with her team on transition. But personally, I haven't seen the mayor, but that's not abnormal. I haven't seen the mayor in 4 years. So.
All right, let me take a break. We'll pick it up there. We come back. J.P. Morrell, our guest, New Orleans City Council member, 820 Traffic Now, WWL. 825 and a half, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to New Orleans City Council member J.P. Morrell about the meeting that happened yesterday, and they got the go-ahead to sell the bonds to make sure that people get paid this year for the rest of the year. Will everybody get paid for the rest of the year that is a city employee now, J.P.?
Yes, the city council has to meet literally, Tommy, every Wednesday at 9 a.m. with the auditor to approve payroll disbursements out of the account. But with the funding that we now have, everyone will get paid.
So let's talk about overtime and NOPD. I'm seeing a quote here from the mayor-elect saying, having discussions with the auditor and also our inspector general, there needs to be better controls of overtime with NOPD as well. Also a better look at potential abuse of overtime. I don't have a cent to waste. And so that's another piece that we'll be working through as well to ensure that not just NOPD, but every department has the right set of controls on overtime. I don't know how you go about working that out with the police chief, because the police chief said she's not going to endanger anybody, right? Tell me about where the city is on that.
The issue is it's not about endangering anybody. It's not about the general position that overtime is bad. Overtime is necessary because our department is depleted. The issue is, and the inspector, the local inspector general, Mr. Michelle, has already been on this, overtime that is valid overtime is essential and necessary, but the police department isn't even tracking who's getting overtime or why. One of the points that the legislative auditor brought up is that there are instances in which you have officers that are giving up shifts to work details, and then you have to take another officer who is already working and give them overtime. Well, if you limit, for example, how officers do details, you might need less overtime because the officer who's supposed to work a shift would work a shift instead of having somebody have to do it for them. So it's complicated, but the reality is that it is important that all of the overtime that we're doing is necessary. And what is missing in the police department, and this is not, even the chief has not disputed it, is that no one's tracking overtime. If someone asks for it, they give it to them. And when you're in this much of a financial crunch, it all needs to be necessary, and someone has to own it. And even the chief and what she said thus far, she's saying it's necessary, but she's not saying they're tracking it. And every department, not just NOPD, EMS, fire, safety and permits, DPW, all overtime needs to be tracked, and supervisors need to sign off on it and say this overtime is actually necessary. What we've seen across the city is for the last 8 years, if someone goes, hey, I want overtime, they go, sure. Mm-hmm. And literally no one bothers to check a box saying this overtime is for X and it is necessary.
So what is city government likely to look like with the new mayor and the new budget and the new revenue projections? Are you talking about massive layoffs? Are you talking about people being cut back to working 3 days a week? And if they work 3 days a week and you pay them for the whole week, well, that makes no sense at all. So if you pay them for 3 days a week, then you're going to lose employees or people are going to be making less money. What is it likely to look like, JP?
Well, I mean, it's too early to say. Those are some very large kind of scary prospects. I'm not saying that all of them are off the table, but until we dig into what the budget for next year looks like, I couldn't tell you that. I mean, what I will tell you is there are a tremendous amount of employees we have in the city that were there based upon federal programs and federal money that is no longer available. And the current mayor was trying to carry a lot of people that were funded by federal money using our general fund. Well, if the federal money for your position went away, we can't afford to keep you, which is very different than a traditional civil service or regular departmental employee. So, by virtue of the federal money disappearing, which is almost $200 million, government will shrink, but it'll shrink with positions that were never really funded anyway.
Shrink in a way that the average person in New Orleans would realize or not? Because if they wouldn't realize it, then you'd wonder, well, why were they there, right?
Well, I mean, when you had federal money funding certain types of programs, Tommy, those are people you don't see doing things the federal government's paying for. Will it affect the everyday life of the people of the city of New Orleans? Absolutely. But the charge of the new mayor and the new council is, how do we prioritize the things that affect daily people, and how do we prioritize quality of life and services, and how do we go forward with less money? Because the reality is, no matter what we do, we can all agree we're going to have a lot less money.
Stay tuned. We'll have all the details as they unfold. Thank you, JP Morrell, New Orleans City Council member. It's 8:30, time for WWL First News. For that, we go to Ian Ozan. A minor technical issue, but we got it resolved, and we're now joined by Joe Garrity, CEO of Crescent Canada, to talk about the new law that was signed into, the new bill that was signed into law by President Trump, and how it could affect the hemp industry. Morning, Joe. How are you?
I have been better.
Yeah, I bet you have. Tell me, first off, about your company.
The new law changes basically makes it so that 95% of the products we sell are illegal. It is devastating to our employees. the vendors we work with, the retailers that sell our products, and those who have spent the better part of the last decade building this company into the number one THC drink in the country.
When does this go into effect?
Well, it's not going to, but for now it goes into effect in 12 months. The fight has just begun. This was snuck into a government reopening bill that had absolutely nothing to do with hemp. It was done this way because it's wildly unpopular politically to ban these products, and they didn't want to have this fight openly and with people actually giving input, because in places like Texas that have tried to ban this recently, Republican passed bills in the House and Senate were vetoed by the governor due to overwhelming business interests lobbying to have it removed. This is not a small business anymore. The hemp market is a $30+ billion a year industry that employs over 100,000 people across the country. It's a lifeline for farmers. It's a lifeline for small business owners who are seeing declining alcohol sales in their stores. And we are ready for a fight, and we're not going to lose this thing.
Tell me how this interfaces with the state law that changed, Joe. I'm a little bit confused, Joe.
So federal law only has one restriction for Delta 9, and that's that it has to be below 0.3% on a dry weight basis. Products like our drinks don't get anywhere near that level. Mm-hmm. What Louisiana did a few years ago was remove the cap to 8 milligrams and then further to 5 milligrams per container. So we're still allowed to buy 5 milligram Crescent 9 drinks all over Louisiana, and we've had a lot of success with that just here. But we're in 20 states. We sell products that are higher potency. We sell products that are different in other states. When Louisiana tried to ban this product, the reason that it didn't work, despite the interests of some of the richest people in this state, some of the most powerful people in the state, is because people reached out to their representatives, their senators, and they told them how angry they were that they were considering taking away a product that they liked so much. And what that did is it actually created the grassroots support that we needed to block some of those powerful people in the state from doing what they wanted, which is taking away your freedoms to choose what you want to consume. So what we need to do is turn that power to the federal level now. And over the next 365 days, we're going to be doing that. I'm flying up to Washington on Wednesday to meet with Representative Morgan Griffin, who's a supporter of the hemp industry. We have a champion in the Senate with Rand Paul. We have a lot of public support behind us here. And I think people are just waking up to the reality that the rug was pulled on this industry, and it's going to devastate families and lives and freedoms.
This was kind of snuck into there, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. It's the only way they could get it through. Mitch McConnell knows how unpopular this is. Everyone who voted for it knows how unpopular this is. And we have bipartisan support for these products remaining legal. They just weren't able to do what they wanted to do through traditional political channels, so they snuck it into an appropriations bill, which is...
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for teen.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is. With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
The opposite of how every single politician argues we should be legislating.
So, are you concerned that this does go into effect? Are you convinced that it's going to be either repealed or another law passed to do away with it?
I'm as concerned as I can be. We have 65 employees who rely on this just in our company alone. There are countless other companies in the state of Louisiana that rely on these products, from retail stores to manufacturers to direct consumer sales. And it's, you know, if you talk to anybody who's consumed our products, they'll tell you that it's been a game changer for them in a lot of different ways. A lot of people are getting off of alcohol, and that's not the fault of anybody. That's just the reality of the life that we're living right now. People are trying to get away from the harmful effects of alcohol, myself not included. But for retailers and distributors, you know, some of the biggest in the country, this is a rare source of income from them. This is one of the few industries they're actually seeing growth as beer and alcohol sales continue to decline. It's unfathomable to me that they would try to pull the rug like this on so many Americans who've dedicated their lives and their time into building businesses and growing this and distributing these products. It's just an absolutely wild thing to occur during a time when, you know, everybody knows that people are struggling and there aren't that many jobs out there right now. And the economy's tough and things are getting expensive. And to just take away one of the fastest growing industries in America is just unfathomable to me.
So tell me exactly what this does. Does it change what you can sell, or does it change what you can get to manufacture what you sell?
It changes everything. I mean, you can't really, they're pretending that this keeps alive the CBD market. It doesn't even keep alive the non-intoxicating market. The law itself is structured in a way that makes it impossible to grow hemp and impossible to sell hemp for any reason, from consumable to industrial purposes. This is not a well-crafted bill. This is just a sledgehammer that's going to destroy the entire industry. What it does from the practical perspective is it changes the law from saying you can have up to 0.3% Delta 9, which is the intoxicating THC that's found in all cannabis, marijuana, hemp. And it drops that limit down to 0.4 milligrams per container. So our products in Louisiana contain 5 milligrams per container. In the aftermath of this, we can contain up to 0.4. It's
which means I would have to do the math for me, which means to get the same amount of, correct me if I'm wrong, THC that is in one can of your beverage, you would have to drink how many cans?
12.
Okay.
And our 50 milligram product, which we used to sell a lot of in Louisiana, is quite literally the best selling THC beverage in America. Do the math on that one. You're drinking 125 cans to get the same effect as you are from one otherwise.
And that you can't sell anymore, correct?
We can sell it in almost every other state in the country.
Right, but not
in
Louisiana.
We can't sell it in Louisiana.
Right. It's crazy, I'm telling you. What do you think's behind all of this, in your opinion?
It's Mitch McConnell. He accidentally legalized weed, and the world and the country was thrilled. Everyone finally got what we've been fighting for 50, 60 years. And after 7 years of the law being in existence, after companies building and growing and hiring and investing in this country, the rug just gets pulled without even a proper debate about it. He knew what he was doing. He's been trying to do this for a while. He found his political cover to come in from the shadows and tie this thing into a government shutdown bill that he knew people were not going to vote against on the Republican side. And he won. He's a true political operator. Can't stand the guy. Truly my least favorite person in the country right now, but you got to give him credit. I mean, he snuck this thing in there, and there's nobody with a backbone to stand up to actually stop it.
And he knows he's not running again.
Yeah, and there were too many important political issues that were being discussed on the federal level to have this thing get any daylight until it was too late. I mean, when you're talking about people getting SNAP benefits and the military being paid and food and beverage,
right.
Food safety, and yeah, it's just there were too many other points that mattered more to people.
Do you change?
And I get that.
Do you change anything, Joe, that you do now from a business standpoint, or do you just go to Washington and just keep business as usual until you see that you have to change anything?
I told my employees yesterday, we're status quo, we're growing, we're continuing to try to be the best company and the biggest company in the state. We're signing new distribution contracts, and we're going to have some of the most powerful alcohol distributors in the country on our side, some of the biggest retailers, Total Wine, Target, Circle K. Everybody has jumped into this category, and they're not getting out without a fight.
So the higher content beverage, you can still get in Mississippi and Texas and those places?
Yeah, and you know what? We signed a letter with a lot of the industry heading into this when we saw the writing on the wall, and we said, look, we are willing as an industry to drop down to a 5 milligram cap nationally. If that's where we can find common ground, and that's where we feel that the limit should be set, we are fine with that. We want to survive. We want to have an opportunity to keep growing.
Thank you,
Joe. Food on the tables for our family.
Appreciate your time. Quick break. Back in a flash. WWL.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground, but raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
There's search and inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
Heather is a nurse practitioner from UnitedHealthcare.
We meet patients wherever they live.
During a house call, she found Jack had an issue.
Jack's blood pressure was dangerously high.
It was 217 over 110.
So they got Jack to the hospital and got him the help he needed.
He had had a stent placed in his heart, preventing a massive heart attack.
If it wasn't for my guardian angel, I wouldn't be here.
Hear more stories like Jack's at unitedhealthcare.com. Benefits, features, and/or devices vary by plan. Area limitation and exclusions apply.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.